listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, things like Mary Jane's, Chuckles, Sugar Daddies, and more. Whether those old-time candies were the last thing you ate out of your Halloween candy, or maybe they're ones you shared with your own kids, we'll ask you to call in and share your nostalgic candy memories. That's coming up next. First, while the Me Too movement continues to reveal cases of sexual assault and harassment for prominent celebrities and media and entertainment stars, it's not so clear what the movement looks like for people in less high-profile workplaces. Our next guest talked to women from many different lines of work about their experiences with sexual abuse and harassment. Bernice Yearing is a reporter for ProPublica covering labor and employment. She recently wrote The Unreckoned, 17 Women Tell Why Me Too Still Hasn't Come for Them for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting in collaboration with New York Magazine. Her latest book is In a Day's Work, The Fight to End Sexual Violence Against America's Most Vulnerable Workers. Bernice, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
You covered a lot of different types of workplace. Can you give us a sense of the range of workplaces you talk to women at?
Absolutely. I worked with a great team of reporters over at New York Magazine, and we reached out to hospital technicians, construction workers, theme park actresses, nannies, oil rig drivers, tech entrepreneurs, a really wide range of women in the workforce.
And one common theme among the women that you and the team talk to seems to be the Me Too movement, in the sense that it's opening the door for women to report cases of harassment and abuse and assault. It doesn't seem to have reached into these different kinds of workplaces.
As you know, one government public employee said to us, you know, she's really excited that this reckoning has come. And, you know, for her, it's a long time overdue, and she's glad that the taboo is being broken. But she really does wonder, you know, what does Me Too mean for her personally in her job, where she's dealing with some ongoing sexual harassment from her supervisor, you know, where the media and the public is not fascinated with her boss because neither she nor her boss are famous.
And I want to look at some of the other stories you heard. These are, I believe, pseudonyms. Roseanne, 44 years old, a technology entrepreneur, often, as entrepreneurs are, trying to get funding for companies. What kind of stories did she tell you about harassment that she had to deal with?
Well, she was taking meetings with venture capitalists trying to fundraise for her startup. And unfortunately, during one of those meetings, you know, essentially one of the funders made some really inappropriate comments. There were women in the room with them, and nobody said anything. And she tried to take it upon herself to do something about it, and she went to the VC firm and, you know, made it clear that she was not happy with that kind of sexual harassment happening in a business meeting. And the response was, well, you know, he has Tourette's. You know, he can't help himself. And she was thinking to herself, well, you know, clearly if he has a medical condition, that's one thing. But to her, really, the response felt like an effort to ignore what was actually happening. And so she ended up not getting invited in the future to other types of you know, VC meetings and other types of networking events, and she basically had to leave hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table simply because, you know, when she tried to say something, there was basically a blackballing effect.
And that seems to be a common theme, too, that you heard from women in a wide variety of fields of work, that in some cases they're explicitly told. I think a police officer that your team had talked to, they're explicitly told things will be worse for you if you do report it.
That's right. You know, she was dealing with all sorts of just incredibly immature and really hurtful behavior, including, you know, at one point, one of her superiors put up posters around the office and in the precinct saying that she had had relations with another officer, which was not true. She was mortified. And again, it was a superior who did this. And so she tried to seek recourse. She asked around and sought advice. And the advice that she got back was, well, you know, actually, if you say anything, it'll probably get worse for you. So I probably would suggest that you don't say anything at all. And as she put it eloquently, I think, she said, this is a place where snitches get stitches is not just a saying. So she felt like there was a lot on the line for her, and she never did say anything.
Talking to Bernice Jung about the Me Too movement and how it maybe hasn't reached all workplaces in the United States. She and a team talked to women in a wide variety of workplaces, high-paying, low-paying, at all points in between, and heard their stories. Now, you talked to a woman in the oil industry. Getting some noise in the background there. Okay. You talked to a woman in the oil industry who said she was raped by a man who had 15 years in the industry, a reputation. What were her thoughts on her experience and the Me Too movement?
You know, she was a single mother with three children, and someone told her that taking a job as basically hauling water for the oil industry and the oil fields was a really great way to, you know, earn a good living. And she had to go and basically find a place. There were regular places where you go to kind of to dump your water at the end of the day. And so one day she did that. She went to go use the restroom, and that's where she was physically attacked by a veteran oil rig driver. And he basically told her, you know, if you say anything about this, I'm going to deny it, and no one will believe you. And so she had to just kind of internalize a lot of that. And interestingly, as someone out in the oil fields and then driving trucks cross country, when I asked her about how she felt about Me Too, she said she had never actually heard about it. It was not something that she had encountered, and it was not something that had, you know, drastically affected her life. But I think also her story is really interesting because I think it's an important point that even though a lot of the women that we spoke to, and this is really just a subset of the dozens of women who were willing to share their stories with us, you know, just because they didn't feel that they could immediately come forward or make a formal complaint, whether to the government or to their employer, doesn't mean that they were being passive in how they responded to the violence or to the harassment. You know, they were constantly looking for other strategies to really address the issues that they were dealing with at work, whether it was changing their work patterns so that they would avoid the harasser, sometimes even changing their appearance. This particular oil rig driver, she actually ended up not going back to that same location ever again to do her business. And she started carrying a taser with her, and she got a little dog to travel with her when she was out in the field. And so, you know, I think it's an important point that it is extremely difficult to expect, you know, workers who have been wronged in this way to just easily come forward. But it's not because they're sitting around and doing nothing about it. They're really actively seeking strategies to avoid and curb the harassment and violence.
I want to wrap up looking at something we've talked to you about before. Women who are extremely vulnerable positions, women who are immigrants, documented or otherwise, who are very dependent in one way or another on their current employer and really have almost no recourse to report any kind of sexual harassment or assault. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. We spoke to a domestic worker and a factory worker, as well as a farm worker. And, you know, those are occupations that I've looked very closely at in my book. And, you know, for those women who are in low-wage jobs, who might come from an immigrant background where language barriers might exist, and then also, you know, immigration status might be tenuous, they are in a particularly vulnerable spot because leaving a job is just not something that they can really quickly and immediately do. They're making constant financial and practical calculations around, you know, the sacrifice that they're going to make on their paycheck while they're trying to support their families, both here and sometimes abroad. And they're also concerned about threats to their immigration status because sometimes threats of deportation are used to not only coerce them into unwanted sexual behavior, but then it's used against them in order to keep them silent. So, the barriers are quite formidable for workers in that particular context.
And as we wrap up, Bernice, it seems like, sitting here in a media position that the Me Too movement is all over. It's this huge development. It seems like everything has changed in some ways. It sounds like going out and talking to women again across the work spectrum, very little has changed in a lot of ways.
Well, I think there's a great willingness to talk about it in a more robust way, an opening certainly, that we haven't seen before. A lot of, coming together by women workers and others who've experienced this problem to support each other and really, look the issue in the eye and try to confront it. And I think that's really new. I think what we haven't really grappled with and come to terms with is actually what is the best way to respond? How do we actually prevent this instead of just expecting, injured workers to come forward and say something after the fact, after they've already been abused? And I think that's really where we need to start to kind of pivot is what is the prevention strategy here? What are we going to do to actually make sure that this doesn't happen?
Bernice, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bernice Jung is a reporter and author of In a Day's Work, The Fight to End Sexual Violence Against America's Most Vulnerable Workers.